And it has a lot of similarities to hydrogen gas. What's really interesting is that the hydrogen gas behavior for, as an antioxidant or selective antioxidant is very, very similar to the C60 behavior as a selective antioxidant. And the two work together. They can work independently, but they also work better together. And they found in the past when the magnetic field gets close to the rotational pole, it drops, and they've had cases of plagues and other unhealthy things seem to break out when you have a weak magnetic field. And then when the magnetic field's strong, organisms seem to be healthier, and there's less plagues and problems then. So there's definitely a correlation there between the magnetic field strength and health in populations and in individual organisms. Oh, that's exactly what's happening now. You know, people will look back 50 years from now or 100 years from now and say, well, those people back in 2018, they were really stupid, man, putting in a 5G system and all the people that damaged and hurt.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I'm inviting Ken, the scientist, back, and we're going to talk about a lot of different topics. We're going to talk about how C60 and hydrogen, how they work, and why does C60 work the way we think it does, or the way he says it does, and then also what's going on with hydrogen, and how come hydrogen magnifies the effects of C60? So he explains that, and then we dive into the magnetic poles and why magnetic fields are so important for advanced biological systems such as ours, and how it affects our brains and our bodies, and as well as EMF, electric magnetic fields, because we're getting bombarded with those, you know, with 5G coming online. What is that doing to our bodies? And so he's going to educate us on all this stuff. And it's pretty enlightening on the fact that we just don't know how our bodies work. And even when they do, they don't care, that it's more about getting it out there for money and greed. And we talk about that a little bit too. So let's get into the interview now with Ken, the scientist. Hi, Ken. Welcome back to the program.
Hello, Sarah. I'm glad to be back.
Well, I've had a lot of people request, how does C60 actually work and how does hydrogen affect your body? And so I wanted to get into some of that. And there's a lot of other topics I wanted to get into, like EMF and magnetic fields and things. But before we get into all that, can you explain a little bit for people who haven't seen you before in the last show, what your background is?
Oh, okay. I have a master's in science. That's my, my educational background. And over the years, I worked in various research facilities. And also, I taught high school science, too. So it's kind of been a wide career. So I've done a whole different variety of the science things and other jobs, too. But it's, yeah, so mostly research science. I used to work for a company that we did biofuels research. That's one of the things we were trying to turn straw into gold. It eventually moved along, and I had to get another job, but the company didn't manage to turn straw into gold. But
they did?
They didn't.
Oh, they didn't. Okay.
Yes, they tried to. Well, I mean, there's a real problem is getting, you know, turning cellulose into biofuels. That's a real challenge, and they're still working on it. I mean, there's ways to do it, but the problem is that, you know, it costs, the amount of energy you put in and the amount of energy you get out is about the same. So it's kind of a pointless thing to do. So you have to kind of get the... to do it cheaply and efficiently, that's the main goal. And it's really hard. They spent billions on that. And I mean, you can do it to a certain extent, but they're still working on a way to break down cellulose. Microorganisms can do it, but we haven't really found a way to do it efficiently ourselves so that we can turn it into biofuels or whatever else we want it to be.
Well, that's interesting in and of itself. But you've been credited for multiple things. One, you redefined the Newton's gravity equation, and they're using it all over the world. The military is to do missiles, right? Anti-ballistic missiles.
It was originally designed for space thing. It's I could get into the Newton things. It's about three magnitudes more efficient than Newton's. It follows some of the same principles. It's just, and remember these, you know, it's not reality. You know, mathematical formulas are not reality. They're a way of describing reality and more accurately predicting it. And so a lot of people, you know, start doing, that's where a lot of the zero point concepts came in. Because what Newton did is he took the whole sphere of the Earth and he shrunk it down to an infinitesimal point at the center of the planet, mathematically speaking. And then he makes a perfectly spherical gravitational field out of that. In my case, I use a slightly different method, but the Earth's not perfectly spherical. And so when you try to put Newtons on the Earth, it doesn't quite work. So mine works in that level. So it can, it's so you can, like, oblate bodies like the Earth, or especially they had a hard time landing on asteroids because they couldn't correctly calculate gravity and their spacecraft would crash or bounce off. So that's essentially what I designed it for. Yeah, and then they took it and used it for missiles and anti-missile systems, but they didn't pay for that either.
Well, you know, that's how it works in the big corporations. But you've also been credited to bring C60 to the science community, and it kind of took off. Can you talk about this a little bit?
Well, I didn't bring C60 to the science community. That actually belongs to three scientists. I don't have their names. Discovered it and discovered the C60 molecule in 1986. In fact, it was a mystery, and there was a something in between the stars absorbing the near infrared band or the infrared bands, and they could never figure out what it was. They tried, you know, it should be some sort of atom, some sort of molecule. They never could, until these three scientists discovered it was a Buckminster fullerene, a carbon-60. They were fans of Buckminster Fuller, so they named it after him. And so they received the Nobel Prize in 1996. But in the health, they've been doing research studies on C60, a lot of animal studies that had really super positive results. And so it's kind of growing into it. I don't know if I'm not the first C60 person. I think it seemed to be the one that 100th monkeyed it into the system. It was always around, just a little tiny thing. People knew about it, but nobody, it wasn't big. And so kind of Cliff High and the whole process of what we're doing now, that's really pushed it into the public consciousness, or at least a certain level of the public.
Because Cliff worked with you, right? I mean, that's where he got his first.
Oh, yeah. I was sending him C60, mm-hmm. and he had some significant health problems. And you can go to his show and talk about it. And it just really transformed him. And he discovered all kinds of new things about C60 I didn't know. I mean, shungite was a natural form, but then he had discovered there was another form. I think it's because if you look at C60 is common in nature, but it's not commonly concentrated. And so, for instance, in the wick, the black wick on the end of a candlestick, that's 0.25% C60. And so fires, to a certain extent, make C60 in the ashes. In the ashes, they're the stuff that comes out of the fire. And at the bottom of Himalayan glaciers, there was this black goo that was kind of oozing out. It was kind of something, and animals would come down from the lowlands up to the glacier to lick this stuff. And so people said, well, if the animals, good for the animals, they scrape it. And lo and behold, it seemed to have great health effects. That was a whole history of that. It wasn't, I think what happens is something to do with maybe from all the fires in India and the ashes would settle on the glaciers and through some mysterious process, because C60 has no solubility in water, but it has a certain affinity for fats, primitive lipids. And so some sort of process appears to be concentrating the C60 at the base of some glaciers, and animals somehow figured out that it was good for them. I'm not sure how that happened, but.
Isn't that interesting how animals work? So what does it do that it helps us so much? I mean, we've heard that it doubles our lifespan, it does all this stuff, but what is it really doing?
Well, it's a selective antioxidant. And so what it does, it doesn't, like most antioxidants, like vitamin C or glutathione, when you get an oxidative species, it globs to the molecule, changes the molecule, and now the body's got to clear that molecule or reset it. C60 kind of resets itself. It's almost like a catalyst. So it's got a slight positive 2 charge. So let's say a negatively charged oxidative radical would be attracted to it and stick to it. And then it neutralizes it, usually back to water, and just resets itself. The C60 molecule is almost indestructible. And it doesn't make any permanent bonds. And that's why it's a selective antioxidant. It only reacts to really high oxidative species like the hydroxyl radical or hydrogen peroxide, which is, it's not technically a free radical. It's an oxidative species, ROS. And so it neutralizes that to water. And it just seems to, and superoxygen, which is an oxygen with an extra electron, a lot of this happens in the mitochondria, the powerhouse of the cell. And so C60 seems to I don't know how you would say it, to basically acts as the antioxidant in that case. And it has a lot of similarities to hydrogen gas. What's really interesting is that the hydrogen gas behavior as an antioxidant or selective antioxidant is very, very similar to the C60 behavior as a selective antioxidant. And the two work together. They can work independently, but they also work better together.
Why? So, what is it they do? Is it like just a super? I heard 162 times better antioxidant than vitamin C.
Yeah, and part of that is vitamin C, once it gets oxidated, it's neutralized, right? It has to be cleared out by the body. C60 doesn't do that. It just resets itself and it's ready to go again and resets itself, you know, hundreds of times a second if it needs to be. So that's something that it does. And so that's kind of the interesting thing about C60 and that's probably one of the reasons why it's 172 times more, because it just can reset itself again and again. Of course, one of the things is it doesn't make any permanent molecular bonds in the body, really doesn't have that capacity. So it kind of just washes out of the body in about 10 days on average. And you have to sort of keep it up. Otherwise, you know, your concentrations drop down.
Well, what does the hydrogen gas do and why do they work better together?
Well, hydrogen gas, you know, most oxidative radicals like OH or hydrogen peroxide, they got a free electrons stuck to them, or they're highly oxidative. So when hydrogen comes along, like an OH is basically just an oxygen, a water molecule missing a hydrogen. So when it runs into a hydrogen gas, it can pull one off. If there's a catalytic surface like C60 available, it'll just neutralize it back to water. And same if an H2 hits a hydrogen peroxide with the right catalytic surface, it'll turn it to water. So that's kind of how hydrogen gas. Now they don't really know how hydrogen gas works. There's a guy, Tyler LeBaron. He runs the Molecular Hydrogen Foundation. And that's really a good place to go. It doesn't sell any products or push anything. It's just basically an informative, and he's sort of the spokesman guru of hydrogen gas. So,
and yeah, they've had studies showing it does, but they don't know why really. Go ahead.
They know it's getting rid of these oxidative radicals. It's acting as it helps glutathione and other sort of antioxidants in the body work better. They're not quite sure exactly how the process is. They know it's happening, but the exact molecular processes, they're still trying to figure that out. They have suspicions, but nobody's been able to confirm it. In science, you usually have to have a complete explanation of everything before you go on to explaining things like that.
I see. And that's why some scientists won't accept the research yet, because it hasn't been fully explained, even though they know what's going on and they know it's helpful and there's been decades now showing it. It just hasn't been fully explained. So sometimes the mainstream scientists won't accept it yet.
Yeah, well, that's a problem for them, quite frankly.
I know.
Science really doesn't explain any whys. There's no, you know, it can tell you what is happening. A lot of science will tell you what's happening. If you do this, you're going to get this. This is going to happen. But it can't tell you why. I mean, we really don't have why does the universe exist? You know, why does an electron orbit the proton without falling in? You know, we can tell you what it'll do.
I know why that one does that. Why the electron circles the proton, because, and this is because I have a person who's working on generating free energy. This happened from the University of Colorado. It's really awesome stuff that'll probably eventually lead to the Nobel Prize. I've been working with them on a project. When the electron goes around, you know, everything is supposed to slow down. Otherwise, you don't have matter, right? The law of physics is everything slows down, goes to entropy. And why would the electron keep going? Well, it's because it does slow down, but when it slows down to a certain point, it gets a zap of energy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, is that the one?
They don't know why that. I mean, it comes from the energy field around us.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably the University of Colorado in Boulder, I'd expect.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm working with, I have a show on it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because they have a bunch of Nobel Prize people that have come out of that university.
Yeah, oh, they're really good there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited because I think that is one of the most promising forms of energy that we have that's being developed right now. And it's like anything else, it's hard to really get it off the ground, but it's really promising. But anyways, I got sidetracked. I'm excited about that one because I'm going to eventually bring him back on. Albert Abel is his name. Jovian Technology. I got sidetracked because... You talked about why the electron is going around and doesn't fall in. Well, because it magically gets this blast of energy.
Definitely.
But keep going.
Okay, where were we at there? On the hydrogen stuff. So, yeah, and so it's and the carbon 60, and it's just it's well part of it I think is the Well, for instance, on diamonds, if you're looking at, there's a certain affinity between hydrogen and carbon 60. For instance, you can put 100, you can put 52, I believe it's 52 hydrogen atoms will stick to the carbon 60. And so actually, if, because H2, hydrogen actually as a gas is H2, there's two hydrogen atoms stuck together. So they have their, the S shell is filled. They like to be paired up. So you could put, let's say, 26 hydrogen atoms, 26 hydrogen molecules can stick to a C60. I'm not saying that every C60 is going to collect that much, but it does. And so C60, part of it is like one of the reasons roughage or fiber is so good for you is as the bacteria break down the cellulose in your body, they produce hydrogen gas as a byproduct. And then that hydrogen gas goes through your body about 11 liters a day if you're eating a healthy diet, of course. That's why roughage is so good for you. And that actually helps. It's kind of like a natural antioxidant, the hydrogen gas is. And C60 helps, I think, a certain way. It kind of collects that. Because if you take, there's various hydrogen products you take, but usually within 10 or 15 minutes, it'll clear, the hydrogen will clear out of your body. Because, you know, you're breathing. Hydrogen is a very, it's the smallest molecule. It diffuses through anything, goes right through steel walls. It's amazing. It's so small. And so it'll diffuse out of your body in 20 minutes. But if you have a bunch of carbon 60 in it, because you could have 10 to the 17th molecules of carbon 60 in you if you're using, you know, carbon 60 product. And so that's an awful giant surface area that all the hydrogen can glob to. So it sticks in to the hydrogen, to the carbon 60. But carbon 60 also can work on its own without hydrogen. It's just more efficient together.
Well, you know, I have my hydrogen water, and there's multiple ways that you can get hydrogen. I know in Japan they have hydrogen bars, and they have pills you can take that generates hydrogen. They have, like you said, fruits and vegetables. But I've been doing this hydrogen pH water, alkalized water, and you did a little bit of research on it because people have asked me too, why does it help the C60? Why does the water do that? Can you explain a little bit how that process works? Because it does more than just it creates energy, or it creates hydrogen, and then that helps with the C60, but also does other things. Can you?
Yeah, well, part of the process that? When you're, you know, alkali water is made of, you know, basically you break water down electrolysis, and it breaks it down into oxygen and hydrogen. Well, when you break it down into oxygen hydrogen gas, that hydrogen and oxygen gas are dissolved in the water, and so the hydrogen gas comes out with your OH water, and so so when you drink your OH water, you're getting the OH water plus hydrogen gas that's in it. It's just part of the process of electrolysis puts things. And people do the same thing with foot baths, those ionic foot baths. When you bust up hydrogen and oxygen into water into hydrogen and oxygen, a lot of that hydrogen diffuses into the water. And because hydrogen's so small, it goes right through the skin in your feet, and then your bloodstream pumps it around your body.
And that's why it turns the water black and it works, because people think it's just a big game, but it's not. It's because the hydrogen gas is so small, it'll go into your body, circulate it, and it'll come back out.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, usually you breathe it out, but that's just another way of getting hydrogen into your body.
But why does the water turn black then, or turn dark?
Oh, that's usually some sort of electrolysis. A lot of it's breaking off materials from the electrolysis cells, and some of that stuff's interacting with your skin. You know, they say it pulls out toxins. And there may be something to that. You know, people say, well, how could that be? Blah, blah, blah. But I've seen like different people will go in and you know, they have to do the foot baths, and you get different sort of weird stuff floats on the surface depending on the health condition that the person has. So somehow there must be, because it should be the same for everybody if that was the case, right, that the claim. But different people with different health conditions seem to have different amounts of things floating on the surface of the little foot bath. So there seems to be something with that. Pulling something out of your body appears to be being pulled out. I'm not exactly sure the whole process, but something appears to be happening.
But you have dug into this alkalized water, because I understand that when the water is alkalized, then the hydrogen gas can flourish in the alkalized water.
Oh yeah, well, that's part of the process. The process, like your OH water is just you're missing a hydrogen there. Well, the hydrogen didn't go away. It was turned into hydrogen gas. So for every two OHs you make, there's a H2 floating around somewhere. And so it's just caught up in the water too. So it's part of the water. And there's also O2 water, oxygen in the water too. But the oxygen molecules and the hydrogen molecules aren't going to interact because they're neutral. They've got H2 and O2. So they're pretty stable. But they're in the water. So when you drink the OH water, you're also getting your hydrogen molecules.
But then you're
double win.
you double whammy because you do the 660, you get the hydrogen, but then you also get the oxygen.
Oh, that's, you know, you're breathing oxygen.
So it's not helpful in that way. What other things does it do that it's helpful? Because I know you researched it a little bit and could explain it, because I don't quite understand it, being totally honest. You know, that's why I wanted to talk to you, the scientist.
Part of it, you know, it's also food. You have to eat the right foods. Certain foods tend to make your, like proteins, tend to make your body more acidic, whereas certain vegetables and other starches, certain things make your body less acidic. And in certain environments, like cancer seems to prosper in an acidic environment, cancer cells. If you put them in a high OH environment or a basic environment, they don't do so well. So certain things, and usually acid things are associated with low oxygen levels too. So it kind of works because there's two things. You got acid-based chemistry, and then you have redox reactions, which is the oxidative radical thing. So there's two different types of chemistry going on here. They're not exactly the same. And so a lot of times people mistake, you know, acid-based chemistry with redox reactions, and that's not totally true. Your blood's buffered, but part of the thing is if you keep you're basically meant to have like an OH, slightly basic, non-acidic blood, and that seems to be positive for animal health. And so OH water seems to work better for animals, but the Kagan machine also makes acid water, because there's two streams coming out. One's the one you drink, one's the one that goes down the sink. But if you take that and take that there, you can use that for watering your plants. And there's also hydrogen in that. So you could take that acid water and use it as a foot bath. And that might would get more hydrogen in, because the hydrogen and the oxygen gas get in all the water. They're just through the whole thing, it appears.
Well, it also has a beauty setting. It kills, and it has a lower setting too. It kills like every kind of bacteria and thing that can hurt you. So if you wash your fruits and vegetables with it, it'll just...
They don't like high OH, high pH. That does not do well for bacteria. So yeah, it does. It does. It has that certain level. I think you probably push it higher than you need to drink it that way. But that's it can be used for all kinds of sterilization purposes.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, kind of the whole mix. And then they have a setting that's lower. It's like 6 pH, where you can use it to wash your face, and it really cleans up eczema and acne and all sorts of things on your face.
So, different things for different. They've done the research on that. And a lot of that stuff, you know, we know that's the science. We know we do this, this will happen. We do the double blind study tests, and something, one becomes the other, and we can tell you that that's happening. A lot of times we don't know why things happen. It's just part of the science things. We can tell what happens. If this happens, this is going to happen, this happened. We have come up with a theory, but some of the basic whys we can't. Like, so they still haven't quite figured out how the hydrogen is doing it. They know it's doing it. They know the chemical reactions it's doing it. Exactly how it's happening, they're still working on the fine tuning of that.
Well, it seems like we're just starting to figure out how we work. I mean, we're so primitive yet on how our bodies work. And getting to, you know, the EMF, we've been talking about electromagnetic fields and how it's really affecting our bodies. People are talking about it a lot, you know, with the 5G that's getting rolled out. And also the magnetic pole shift and things like that. And we're starting to learn that we're an electric body. It seems like we are, in our food and everything else, it seems like we're doing things because we can make money and it makes sense, but we just don't know how it's going to affect our bodies, and we're just starting to figure that out. So can you talk a little bit about the magnetic poles and how that affects our body? And I know you were saying that, and then we can get into EMF as well, you were saying that it's going to actually, the magnetic forces field is going to increase. So can you talk about magnetic poles, how that affects our body, and why will it be increasing?
Okay, well, the magnetic fields are necessary for life. That's a basic one. They've done studies. You can actually create chambers where you can use one field to neutralize the other field. So you can create a chamber in which there is no magnetic field. And they put things like growing eggs and chicken embryos in the egg growing. They put them at different stages. They put them in a chamber without any magnetic field, and they basically die, and they kind of deform before they die. So it appears that they've done other studies on this, and they found that, you know, advanced organisms like us, complicated organisms, they really need a magnetic field to be healthy. And at a certain level, we're designed. It's, you know, there's not only an air atmosphere, we need a magnetic atmosphere to survive.
So do we know the why on that, or is that another one where we just know it, but we don't know why?
seems to be, yeah, it provides a structure or some in there's things like, for instance, when your bones grow, you know, the reason your bones strengthen someplace, every time you squeeze the bone, it's piezoelectric, creates an electric current, tells them, oh, wherever there's electric current, that tells the bone growing cells, that's where you need to build more bone. Where there's less current, that's where it, you know, the bone destroying cells say we can take the bone away from there, so, you know, focusing. So it may have something to do with that in that sense. But we find that bacteria become more pathogenic without a magnetic field, or as the magnetic field gets weaker, and advanced organisms seem to get weaker, things just don't work as well, so we become weaker. And the pole has wandered around before. This is not the first time it's wandering around. And there's an inverse relationship. There's a rotational pole of the Earth and the magnetic pole of the Earth. And as the, you know, here's the rotational pole. As the magnetic pole of the Earth gets closer to the rotational pole, the field weakens. That's like a basic, and it works the same on Saturn, Jupiter, and these other planets. And so they've had chases. They can go back from ancient fire hearths and brick ovens and things like that, and they can tell where the magnetic field was in the past, the direction and intensity. And they found in the past, when the magnetic field gets close to the rotational pole, it drops, and they've had cases of plagues and other unhealthy things seem to break out when you have a weak magnetic field. And then when the magnetic field's strong, organisms seem to be healthier, and there's less plagues and problems that. So there's definitely a correlation there between the magnetic field strength and health in populations and in individual organisms.
So our magnetic field hasn't been that strong lately, and it's going to start strengthening?
Yeah, it's basically this year, in fact, the magnetic pole, the North Magnetic Pole and the rotational pole of the Earth are going to pass the closest they're going to pass. It'll be about 3%, maybe a little bit less than 3%. The magnetic pole is on its way to Siberia, and so it's going to pass by the pole really close. And it's been dropping as the magnetic pole has been getting closer to the rotational pole, the field's been dropping. And so this year it's going to pass the rotational pole on its way to, the magnetic pole will pass the rotational pole on its way to Siberia. And so as it gets closer and closer to Siberia, the magnetic field of the Earth will increase.
Okay, so should we be experiencing, the human beings and animals be experiencing some detrimental effects as it's getting closer? And then as it gets farther, it'll start to increase and we'll feel better?
Oh, yes, exactly. There's people, in fact, I have some, you can sometimes we're kind of in a low magnetic field strength. So there's people that have like magnets you can put under your bed. Make sure you get the right ones. Biosphere magnet's a good one, but they're not selling right now. And it'll kind of like make up for the magnetic field that you're not getting. And there's also, and the pole of the magnet's really important, because they've done animal studies on, there's a difference between like a south pole, the magnetic south pole, and the scientific magnetic south pole and the scientific magnetic north pole are different from our north and south pole. So what we call the north pole is actually the scientific south pole, but it's a complicated thing. People can go research it themselves. But basically, when you're when they put rats on the quote north scientific pole, they tended to live faster, they had more children, built messier nests, and died a lot younger. And whereas they put them on the south magnetic pole, they lived a lot longer, they built cleaner nests, had less children, and so that seemed to promote health. So it's like live fast, die young, versus live a long time, live healthier. So that's,
but the interesting thing is the rats actually had more children to make up for the fact that they die faster.
Yeah, exactly. We grew up on this planet, so they've sort of adapted to it. But that's an interesting kind of thing. But then there's the magnetic field where it's neither south nor north, really north or south. You're just kind of in it like where we are here. And that's just straight magnetic field strength. And when it's strong, people are healthy. When it's weak, and the people are going to have to figure that out. I mean, if we ever go traveling to Mars and stuff, they're going to have to bring along a magnetic field and have a magnetic field on Mars to make up for it. Because the scientific research has shown, you know, without a magnetic field, and Mars doesn't really have one, advanced biological organisms like us can't survive.
Oh, that's interesting. And well, we're just starting to figure ourselves out. I mean, because modern or the mass doctors and things don't know this stuff. They don't know how we really work. And it's really interesting because now we're starting to understand this and starting to, well, it's like peeling an onion. You know, we start to understand this and then there'll be a whole bunch of more stuff we don't understand, but that we start to realize. But it's a whole area that we're starting to get a grip on. Now, how does the EMF affect us? Because, you know, people are really worried about 5G going everywhere, and we're just getting bombarded with electrical signals everywhere.
It seems to somehow disrupt the DNA and maybe protein production, and they're not exactly sure exactly how to. We know that, like, for instance, the terawatt detector is a type you have to go through the airport. That actually will unzip and damage DNA. They know that because they've done testing, but they do it anyway. And it seems to be, I mean, you look at it, like, the huge rise of brain cancers, and it seems directly correlated with the use of cell phones. I mean, they put that high-powered electromagnetic device right up on their ear talking for hours, and that's where the cancer forms. And usually cancer has a lot to do with, you know, some of the disruption of the DNA. The organism's not functioning anymore. The DNA is not properly, you know, maybe it's got mutated or it's not working. Things are not working. And so it seems to somehow the electromagnetic signals seem to interrupt the DNA, RNA processing, and so the cells kind of turn cancerous. So that's they don't know exactly how the mechanism works. They know it's happening because they've done the studies. Exact all mechanisms seems to be damaging the DNA, or maybe damaging the DNA while it's being built. Somehow maybe interferes when, you know, because it's constantly being built, constantly being repaired. So maybe when you have EMF fields, it's disrupting, you know, the division process of the cells. But they, you know, they've done, high school kids have done studies where they take plants and they put them right on your Wi-Fi, you know, server, where the field's the strongest and the plants die. Whereas the other plants, the control plants, which are far away or not even in the area, they stay healthy. So, you know, the high, strong EMF fields are definitely correlated with damaging plants and animals.
Well, what do you think of the 5G that's coming out then? Because they're putting stuff everywhere. Here's the thing. We know this is happening because we have all the scientific research now to at least say it's happening. But yet they're rolling out the 5G anyways. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's about the money. That's what it's about. They really don't care. They don't care, you know, and it's just more electronic pollution. It's like those things, you know, they used to have those X-ray fluoroscopes where basically you'd go into the shoe store and you could, you know, put the shoe on and then you'd put your foot on the X-ray, you know, X-ray detector, and you could see your, you know, your bones and your foot and the shoe on the X, you know, the plate, right? That you could read that, and that was, you know, that was great. Wow, look at this! You can see how your bone, you know, how your foot fits in the shoe, and you know, until finally they discovered, you know, people that worked in shoe stores kept doing that all the time because they thought it was cool, and you know, it basically destroyed their foot or they got cancer and died, and so they said, well, maybe that's not a good idea. But I mean, that was there for decades in shoe stores, and they didn't know. I mean, radium. Was people used to think radium, which is a highly radioactive substance, a breakdown product of uranium, you know, glows in the dark. They thought, whoa, this is so cool. And, you know, they put it on watches and they had all kinds of potions they give to people. And they even had one guy here that he thought it was so cool. He painted a whole room in radium. He was one of their owner of a radium company. And like the women used to lick the brushes, you know, when putting the radium to, you know, make them tight. Of course, they all got cancers and died. And so finally they figured out, well, this radium stuff is not good for you. Maybe we shouldn't be doing this. And because there was, you know, they didn't do studies really.
Well, but how much more powerful do you think 5G is than what we're getting now? And is it like being in the middle of an X-ray? I mean, are we all going to be X-rayed all the time?
That's ionizing. X-rays are ionizing radiation. RF or electromagnetic frequencies, that's non-ionizing radiation. And they always used to claim, well, it's not knocking an electron completely off a molecule. Therefore, it isn't a problem. Well, that's not the case. And so that's one of the things, because if they don't, quote, have a mechanism, then it can't possibly be wrong for you. They just ignore it. But, I mean, it's clearly that this is a problem and something. And these lower energies, which are non-ionizing electromagnetic energies, do cause health problems, are causing. I mean, there's some people that are super sensitive to electromagnetic radiations. They'll get sick in the presence of strong magnetic fields. They have to live like way out in the woods or way away from people with no electronic devices. Otherwise, they'll be sick. And so obviously, they can detect it. It's obviously messing with their nervous system.
Well, so, but weird. How would you compare it to, you know, X-rays or radium? I mean, it's not as bad as what you're saying. But if we're getting so much of it, could we essentially be like we're in an X-ray all the time?
No, we do not, animals, you know, we're a human animal. We did not evolve or grow in an environment full of this electromagnetic radiation. This is something new, and it's not good for us either, that these high energy, you know, the high density. I mean, there's people that, like, for instance, work on those radio radio towers and stuff, they have their tower running while they're working on it. Those people have all kinds of terrible health problems, get cancers and die early. So,
well, and
I mean,
they know that, right? So
they know that, but you know, they pay them a lot of money and the people do it and, you know,
they don't care.
Yeah. Well, people used to smoke cigarettes too a lot. So, you know, and they know that causes cancer. So, I mean, it's part of the thing. It's just one of those things I don't think.
But it's not any worse than smoking, you don't think, or anywhere. What I'm trying to get is, what is the magnitude of what this problem is? Because people are talking about it being, you know, a depopulation agenda. Is it that, or is it just we're greedy and stupid and will eventually a lot of people die of cancer and there'll be an uproar and then they'll have to fix it?
Yeah, I think it's part of that too. I mean, if they're going to do a depopulation agenda, they'll probably get you with the vaccine or something. And so they do have that. But I think it's, a lot of this is just greed and stupidity.
Yeah, because that's kind of where I'm at with that. Although the 5G, the bigger problem is being able to create a technocracy where they can track everything that we're doing. And
that's
more of a nightmare.
Well, you have those smart meters. I mean, they just cause all kinds of health problems for people in their houses because they're so powerful. Especially if you could, depending on where the node is, some people the thing just calls out, but other times they'll turn one of your smart meters into the central node that's communicating with headquarters. So it's just like cooking your house with really strong EM, electromagnetic radiation, and you get serious health problems, people. And it's clear, but they do it anyway. You know, they just don't care.
Well, we polluted water and everything 100 years ago. We would just throw, I wasn't even around, but the corporations would just throw pollutions into the water and didn't care. And it was killing people everywhere until they were forced to clean it up. Same with milk. I mean, there were so many examples where they would just do it because they could make money and it was cheaper.
Oh, that's exactly what's happening now. You know, people will look back 50 years from now or 100 years from now and say, well, those people back in 2018, they were really stupid, man, putting in a 5G system and all the people that damaged and hurt. You know,
they'll look like cavemen.
Yeah, exactly. Just like asbestos. They said, well, this stuff's great. Let's put it in shingles and all this pipe coatings and all this other stuff. And yeah, until later we found, whoa, this stuff's not good at all. And so then you had to go back and remediate. But in the meantime, all those people, you know, too bad. So,
you know, I was talking. Yeah, I interviewed Wallace Thornhill, and one of his things is, and I think this is totally the case. I don't know why we can't be smarter as a human race, figuring out what frequencies actually harmonize with our bodies, and use those kind of frequencies. Know what harmonizes with us. Know what works with us, and that's what we use to. I suppose it would delay the rollout. And it costs too much money to do that.
Well, yeah,
got to figure it out.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly it. It's just the way our society functions. You know, I think they're banning, like in Sweden and other places, they have their own problems, but they're banning vaccines. You know, they realize, whoa, all these vaccines are not good for you. And it's not maybe necessarily the vaccine, but it's they put adjuvants and these other things in the vaccine, like the thimerosal, which is mercury-based, and aluminum hydroxides, and the nasty one now. And they put it in there so the bacteria can't grow in that stuff. Because, you know, they have, for the super wealthy elites, they have these vaccines that are kept in cryogenically frozen. And then they can pull them out, they thaw them correctly, and you can get injection. It doesn't have mercury, doesn't have aluminum hydroxide. They give that to the peasant class because it's an easy preservative, right? It's so toxic, the little stuff inside the vaccine, that no bacteria can grow in it. Nothing can grow in that. Oh, yeah, and then we're going to take that and inject it into you.
It's just a cheap way to kill bacteria. Even it's kind of like our water. They're putting chlorine, and a lot of cities are just not filtering at all and just using chlorine because it kills the bacteria. But the chlorine's bad for you.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, well, some of the diseases are worse. But
well,
yeah,
exactly.
The chlorine is bad for you. And I mean, they have some of the towns here, we have ozonated water, so they use UV light basically to sterilize it and put that in. So there's a lot less chlorine. But yeah, it's just it's a choice, you know. It's usually a money choice. So yeah, it'd be too expensive for us to cryogenically do the vaccines and then give them to people. So let's just put this toxin in it and make it so much more easy and convenient. And it doesn't matter. It's been shown to be, but you know, they don't care.
Because vaccine itself isn't the issue as much as the crap they're putting in with it. Because let's say you're going to Africa and there's all these diseases, people need to get all these vaccines to go to Africa or whatever, because we're just not exposed to those things. Now, that should be good, right?
All vaccines are going to cause a little bit of brain damage, because that's just, and because if you got sick, you're also going to have some damage. So it's the same thing. So every time you get a vaccine, you're causing damage. to the body because it's, you know, it's a foreign substance and your body fights back and there's consequences on that. So, I mean, it's yeah, but I mean, probably better to get a yellow fever vaccine than get yellow fever because both are going to damage you.
And, exactly.
And they do it correctly, but they just do it cheaply.
Well, right? I want the vaccine without the crap added.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It's I don't want that.
Society. It's a moral problem. It's not a scientific problem. And most things in our society, they don't have scientific problems. We have solutions to almost all problems that society has in a technical sense. Those things being implemented or people just following rational behavior patterns, that's the problem. It's a moral problem. And there's consequences for that. Yeah, well, that's our problem.
Well, since we're going to be bombarded with electric magnetic crap that isn't good for us, what can we do? Besides, I am having a hard time. I can't deplug from technology altogether because that's what I do. You know, that's my whole life. So what do we do?
Well, they have various blankets. They have blankets that are grounded that you can put over your bed. So when you're sleeping at night, they have your sheets and your blankets. And so you're sleeping like an electromagnetic cocoon. There's some paint. It's like anti-electromagnetic paint. So it'll block paint stuff. And you can, so it's a little bottle, you know, it's like a 1-quart cost you a couple $100. But you could paint like the whole inside of a room. And you'd go in there and you'd be like in your own little Faraday cage, protected from electromagnetic radiation. And so there are things you can do.
Is there anything we can do to reverse it, or we can just keep it from bombarding us? Is there anything that we can do to make us healthier so that we're not, any damage that was created, we could reverse? Go ahead.
Yeah, C60 and things like that, they probably help a lot. And there's other things that would help, obviously, the good nutrition and all that. But still, it's just bad for you. It's just like smog. You know, you can take all the antioxidants you want, but, you know, like living in L.A. is like smoking a pack a day. Because the smog's so bad, and that's just part of the way it is.
Well, I know I went to Mexico City and I had a cold when I went there, and I had it the whole time until I got back home, and then it was over in a day.
Oh no, that's it. Just like the air pollution, and now we've created a new pollution, you know, electromagnetic pollution. It's the same way, you know, and people living in the cities, breathing the toxic air, drinking the toxic water. And, you know, now they've got their toxic electric smog, you know, just another one of those problems that people have. And it'll shorten their lifespan for sure.
Well, you know, with 5G, it's going to be everywhere because they're putting towers everywhere. So everyone's going to be nailed with it. Do you think only the ones who are not sensitive are going to be okay and we're going to see skyrocketing cancer levels?
Oh, I think, yeah, you're going to see a lot. Well, there's a lot of, you know, before they get cancer, they have all kinds of, like the people that are sensitive to electromagnetic radiation, they have a problem, hard time sleeping. They have all kinds of like mental issues. They can't focus. Things just aren't working right because it's somehow.
ADHD, anxiety.
Yeah, it's somehow those electromagnetic radiations interfering with the functioning of their brain and their nerve structures. That's what appears to be causing the problem. And so, I mean, these people are super sensitive and so certain people, they're like almost like allergic to electromagnetic radiation levels. But they're like the canary in the coal mine. Yeah, they're the sensitive ones. They're picking it up. But it doesn't mean that we aren't getting the damage. We're just kind of too insensitive to really see what's happening to us.
You know, I don't know, when I'm on the computer too long, I'll get a headache. And I don't know if that's my eyes or it's the waves that I'm getting.
Yeah, it's two things. I mean, a lot of people I know don't have Wi-Fi in their house anymore. They have a hard time dealing with it. So they now have, you know, cable plug in directly to the computer and they got rid of the Wi-Fi. But the problem with that is your neighbor's got Wi-Fi and all the apartments or houses right next to you. So you're getting, it's like when you log on your computer, you know, you look in, you know, look at the Wi-Fi networks that are available. There's a whole big list of them, you know, and so, you know, each one of those things just, it just loads on. It's just one of those things that people are going to look back and, you know, it's like they used to have doctors. Well, I smoke Camels. They're the healthiest cigarette. You know, people are going to look back and, you know, just say, whoa, that was really stupid. But, you know, we always say that about the people in the past, but we often do not recognize as we're just as dumb as they are in doing
exactly these
things. It's just a little bit in the future. We think we're smarter and better. But
we just got our current stupid thing we're doing.
Exactly. And then the people 50 years from now can look at us and say, whoa, they were really dumb. Look what they were doing. You know, it just goes on and on. It's just part of the nature of humans, I guess.
I remember there was a Star Trek episode where the doctor was just appalled because they were cutting into somebody, you know, to do surgery. and then we were just completely barbaric. That's, you know, that was funny, I thought.
Oh, yeah. So I've had people that had like the laparoscopic surgery on the knees. You know, back in the old days, I know football guys, and a lot of them, they go and they do the knee thing when they had a few beers. Oh, look at this scar. Look at that scar. Ugh. But, now they got the laparoscopic surgery. It's just a tiny little scar you can't even see. They go in, do all the repair, pull it out. Yeah. Technology advances for sure.
It does. Well, you're the scientist. And so what are some of the neatest things that you're seeing? You know, the problem with technology is that there's such a great light to it. There's so many cool, great things we can do for humanity. And then there's the dark side. You can take any technology and just mess it up, right? If you have good intentions, it's great. If you don't, it can be painfully evil. But what are some of the neatest things that you've seen coming online?
Oh, well, in the health category, they have that, there's that one peptide some guy in Switzerland discovered, and they've been working on it, and it's they had rats that are all kind of old, balding, they're muscle weak, they're basically old rats, and they give them this peptide and it kills off sentient cells, which are cells that are just not doing anything, they're just kind of hanging around drawing resources, not really producing. So they kind of get, they kick off, and they regrew their hair, their muscle strength came back. So it's like, you get 65, you go in, you take the peptide, now you're 45 again.
And I want that. Will it deal with, after having kids, having this thing just hang down too far? I'm oversharing here, but after having kids.
Oh, no, that's one that's out there. And it's, they're, quote, doing human trials. But I'm sure the super wealthy elites are getting that. I would have it if I could get a hold of it. But it's just a simple peptide, which is just a short protein.
It shouldn't be that expensive, but of course it will be for a while, just because
probably for dirt cheap, really, in the mass production cycle. But it's got, it's the same thing, yeah. So, but they're not. It's. I'm sure the guy's got it patented, and they're going to do that. They've been working on years on that one. And so there's all kinds of really health things. And you look at all the new health things. They've got the CRISPR gene editing method.
Yes, I've done shows on that.
It's not perfect. It's not like the end all, but it's so much better than the old ways, and I'm sure they're going to come up with them that's even better than that.
Well, the problem with the CRISPR is that it cuts, and I talked to the scientist that actually identified this. He has a lab in Austin, Texas, that when it's cutting, it's actually cutting in a whole bunch of other places as well.
Oh, yeah.
Secondary
yeah.
locations, and so they don't know what's really going on.
Yeah, exactly. That's oops.
Oops. It cut there, too.
but it's a new technology, and they haven't really learned it. It's better than the old method.
Yes.
But it's still, it has its flaws. And so they're.
Well, they might have identified some better things since I talked to them.
Yeah, but it's the same thing. It's, like genetic engineering. They can, you can use it for under genes. You can use it to help disease, maybe change cells, do cell transplants so people don't have diabetes anymore. And they do a whole lot of stem cell stuff now. We have a place up here, it's like in Fort Collins area in Colorado. And they'll take your own stem cells out, they'll raise them up, grow a bunch, and then they'll put them into your knees. We've had people with bone on bone, the knee bone on bone and stuff, really bad. They'll put these stem cells in, and it'll regrow the cartilage. And then their knee's like new again. It's amazing.
It's doing that.
But it really works.
Yeah, it does. Because that's another person I interviewed. I was doing a lot of science shows for a while. It's a couple years ago. Some of it might just be on podcasts, but there's Okinawas, I think it was the name of it. It's there in the Bahama Islands. Problem is, so much of this stuff is not legal here in this country. You have to go to other countries to get it.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, no, if you're looking for advanced medical technology, it may be developed here and researched here, but you're not going to have access it here. You're going to have to go somewhere else for that.
Yeah, all the sciences, we might be doing it here, researching, and then we go elsewhere to implement it.
Yeah, because, it's the same thing. I think they had an American Cancer Society guy, his wife got cancer. I think this is like in the 90s. And, the treatment, the American Cancer Society got the treatment banned here in the United States. So she flew off to Austria to get it. Isn't that convenient? Come on. It's like one rule for the elites and then another rule for us. And so that's kind of how we rule. We don't live in a real functional society. We live in
this is what I've already come to this conclusion that if anything happens to me or my children that's really serious, we're going to fly somewhere. Make sure you have enough money that your healthcare needs to have a stash of money for flying to another country. Period. Yeah. End of story. That's part of your healthcare.
Yeah, exactly. The healthcare system in America has failed. It's a failure. You know what I mean? We spend the Americans spend per capita twice as much on healthcare as any other country in the world. And they have the worst outcomes of any industrialized country in the world. I mean,
We control it. We won't allow the better treatments and things. That's why I'm like, just make sure part of your plan is to have fly out of the country is part of it.
Well, it's all about money and control. And so the power elites wants to stay in charge. It's like, here, I mean, I don't know. This was a couple years ago, a year or two ago. So I don't know where it is now. But, you know, America's one time was the leader in the internet speeds and connectivity and all that stuff. Well, last time I checked, we were ranked between Bulgaria and Turkey. You know, everybody else is way up at the top. I think South Korea was at the top of it. So we're down between Bulgaria and Turkey. We're probably below Turkey by now.
But so, you know, but that points to why freedom is important, because once you start getting all this like crap and regulations and all this stuff, that's what happens. You can see our leadership go right down the tank.
Oh yeah. And they got to the level of corruption. I mean, you could talk about the F-35 jet fighter. I mean, it does all missions badly. They don't have no pilots. They don't want to fly in those things. They'll do anything not to fly in an F-35 because it's a death plane.
I've heard that. Yeah.
Pilot that it is, you know, that's why have an enemy when you got the F-35? It's going to take you out before the enemy does. It's just terrible. I mean, they can't build anything that works anymore because of the corruption. The corruption.
Yeah, corruption makes you awful. Corruption messes up everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're just an empire at the end of its line. And I kind of look at things. I'm sort of a political atheist like Gerald Celente is. And, you know, you kind of look at where you are in history, you know, your country, your place. And, you know, I mean, the United States is just another empire in decline. And it's like the British Empire was in the past, you know, once it strode the world. And then when the British pound no longer became the world trading currency, or, you know, it was just another country. And that's what's going to happen to the United States. Right now, it's the big boy on the block, the big tough monkey. I'm the number one, and I'm going to intimidate everybody else in the world. But when the dollar is no longer the world trading currency, America is just going to be another country, which actually will be better for the American people.
Maybe. Because then we can start getting serious, getting rid of corruption. Mm-hmm. Maybe our medical care will get better. I mean, this is not a good state of affairs right now.
The system's just corrupt. Yeah, China, I think, is going to be the next. The Chinese yuan or renminbi, whatever you want to call it, will be the world trading currency. It's inevitable.
I just want to make sure they're not, you know, some of the things I'm hearing going on in China is scary. It's not like what I'm hearing here isn't scary, but I just don't want this whole technocracy. China's technocracy, I don't want that coming here because they're controlling everything that people do.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's part of the whole mentality. I mean, we had the disease and now they catch it. The imperial disease, where they're going to be, you know, the big empire ruler of the world, you know, number one, we want to control everything, and they'll just choke it out. You know, that's what happens.
Yay. Well, thanks for giving that bright message.
These are just historical things. I mean, I can't say that.
I know.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It's just
it
like,
is.
Well, it's like we do, it's just like I said, we don't really have any technological problems to all the world's to the problems of the world. We have technological solutions to all of them. It's the implementation.
It's the people.
Like homeless people. You see them on the streets and stuff. We don't need to have that. Like Utah of all places, they found that if they took all the homeless people and put them into houses and they would save them huge amounts of money, because when they get sick, they have to go to the emergency room and get all this treatment. So if they just kept them out of the environment, had put them in a little apartment with a TV and made sure they got fed, the actual cost went way down. So they're only a fraction of the cost of the problem. But you know, it's like the same way. If every woman in America got prenatal treatment, right? Prenatal, a little bit of postnatal treatment, didn't matter who they were, where they were, whatever. If they all did that, for every dollar they spent on prenatal treatment, they would save $10 on postnatal treatment. Because, you know, one sick baby can suck up half a million a week. And so they saved huge. For every dollar they spent on that, they'd save $10. But, you know, we can't do that. There's a moral hazard to that. You know, maybe a Republican thing. Thinking about that, you know, that's just ridiculous.
I mean, every time you educate a poor woman, it's like a 100 time return. I don't know. It's probably more than 10. Every time you educate a woman in a poor country, Or every dollar you spend on nuclear technology is negative something.
Exactly. They say it's so cheap. No, it isn't, because you got a problem for the next 10,000 years or 100,000 years. It's like, what are you doing this for? This is stupid. And it doesn't make any sense. And they say, well, we have solutions. No, you don't have solutions to the waste problem. You know? And so
Well,
it's
if
just.
you have those solutions, you need to bring them out and deal with it and do it. Because I have heard some solutions that there's a way to clean up some of the nuclear
Oh, you
waste and
can.
stuff, but nobody uses it. So
No,
do
because
we have those solutions or not?
then they'd have to pay me my patent.
Yeah.
Moxifusion, I can burn uranium. That's another thing I don't think I mentioned to you. Moxifusion, metal oxygen fusion. You can, for like $60 an ounce, you can, or yeah, whatever it was. Anyway, you can burn up, you can moxie fusion, metal oxygen fusion, like uranium, plutonium, to harmless non-radioactive
So
substances.
your device will go in and clean up Fukushima and clean
Well,
up.
concentrate the stuff. You could probably get the cesium in concentration and then moxie it down to a non-radioactive substance, but you still got to concentrate it. I mean, better not to have the problem in the first place. Now, I mean, there are remediation things we can do to neutralize that stuff, but it's the thing is just a tiny, tiny amount of like we had rocky flats out here in the Boulder area. Well, it's near the Boulder area, and downstream there's Broomfield, and they got the water out of Stanley Lake, that the people drank. And I had a friend, he went to was commenting, he knew somebody, they went to their high school reunion party. And it was like a 50th or 40th or whatever reunion party was, and most of the people were dead.
Oh,
So,
geez. It's
all
because
been
of
done.
the area they were living.
Yeah, exactly. They're downstream of Rocky Flats, drinking plutonium-contained water and probably breathing it in the air. And so this the that was the time it was happening, the geezer crowd. So they were like, half of them were gone, and that's a way higher death rate than the normal clot of people at that age. So, but they, you're not going to see any studies, and nobody's going to tell you that.
Well, yeah, no. Well, where can people learn more about your stuff? I know you do the Purple Power 60,
Okay, yeah, I have
C60. Go ahead.
c60purplepower.com, and that's, I offer C60 in coconut and avocado oil. I find that's much better. A lot of people offer it in olive oil, and if you're into that's fine. There's Live Longer Labs offers it in olive oil if you're looking for it. I know they're really good because we have the same suppliers, and we get 99.95% pure carbon 60, and then we get good quality oils, and we make a good product. And there's a lot of good players. There's a few bad players in the C60 market, but most people in the C60 market, I've examined them, and they're pretty good players, and they work to make a quality product. Of course, sometimes they say, "Oh, you're not as good as me because of whatever," but that's just basic merchant stuff. But
But
pretty
there's
good.
a, isn't there from the big corporate empire that's doing all the, the awakening shows, Gaia, I'll just say it. Aren't
That's.
they doing a product that isn't
Yeah,
refined?
but yeah, I don't want to talk in that because it's. See, I don't, there are some few bad players, and maybe it's just natural. Bad things attract bad things. That's just natural. So I don't want to go into that one. But yeah, I wouldn't be.
Well, I just don't want people to get hoodwinked and they're taking something that's not refined and they think it is and it's
Yeah,
not.
exactly. Yeah, that was Carbon 60. It's a product that's basically the guy that's producing it makes in his lab, but he doesn't purify it, right? So it's maybe 5% pure, 2% pure carbon 60. I mean, if you really want to go that route, that's black as ink, you should just buy some shungite and drink the powder. The Russians have been doing that for centuries, and it works. So, and it'd be a lot cheaper too. So, I mean, but our stuff is, his is low quality, just production ashes. I wouldn't do it. If you see C60 dissolved in a clear liquid, like this coconut oil, it has no solubility in water, but coconut oil, it's purple. That's why my company is named Purple Power. And if you take something like olive oil or avocado oil and you put that in it, those are light tan, it'll turn it a dark amber or a light amber, however, whichever one you're using. And so you can just look at the product in clear glass. I use protective black bottles so the oxidation doesn't oxidize the light doesn't oxidize the oil. But if you look in a clear glass, you can see the purity, my product or anybody else's product. It's just you can look with your own eyes and see the purity. I mean, if you got something that's black as ink, you're just, it's like taking the carbon black out of your photocopier and drinking it. That's
Well,
about
it's
the
good
effect.
for people to know. I mean, that's the whole point is because people don't know and they don't know what they should be looking for. So thank you so much. I'll have all your links and information up here. And you, Ken the scientist, we got to have you back as more things happen. You'll turn into what? Bill Nye the Science Guy? Except you'll be Ken the Scientist for the truth media.
One thing I'd like to talk about in the C60 stuff. One thing I don't do is cannabis stuff, and because it's a Schedule I drug, and I'm not going to have that interfere with my companies. But we got a really good product for like CBDs. People that take CBDs. Let me see if you can see that Canacarbin. So Canacarbin, really people with a lot of pain. If you got, because it'll do the CB, you get all the benefits of CBD with C60. And so here is for your people if they want to read it, Canacarbin.com. I don't do it. It's a good. I know the guy. He makes a quality product, and so if you want to do CBDs with people, ask me all the time, can I get CBDs with that? And I'm just not going to do that because it's Schedule I. But he does. He may be a little bit whatever than I am, tougher than I am.
And well, because you got to deal with all the regulations and the government and everything else.
Exactly. And the other thing is the hydrogen people. See, you have the Kagan machine, and that's a good one. The water machine, and for drinking water, I would recommend that because then you can get your hydrogen water. A lot of people don't do that. They got the pills. This is the pills I use. I don't know if you can see Active H2. It's a really good one. I use it myself. And here's some of the data. If you do the coupon code, you get a 10% off. So the person that supplied me wanted me to say that. Just Adams with a past apostrophe or whatever.
Okay.
There.
Okay, well, that's good. That'll help. Yeah, there's a lot of machines that don't quite do what people think they do, or it runs through a plates, and it doesn't have a barrier, and so it actually gets absorbed with.
Yeah, you could get your drinking. Yeah, you could be drinking some nasty metals that get dissolved off. And anything I promote, I actually use myself, and so that's why I do it. I'm not getting anything off these. Pretty much, they're just people I know. Because I want people. I mean, my product's good. I do a high quality product. Other people's products are good, like Live Longer Labs. And we're competitors. But I say mine's a little less per volume, but they're good quality products. And the same with the hydrogen or the Canacarbin. Those are really good quality products. So if I just want people to know, if you want a product to use, these are ones that I use, and they work for, and they'll work for you too.
Okay. Well, great. Well, thank you so much, Ken. And I will. We're going to talk again.
Okay. Great. Yes. Absolutely. Well, thank you for the show. Yes. Very good.